Ayush Jain is a tech entrepreneur, author, and CEO and co-founder of Mindbowser, an award-winning digital transformation firm. He's led teams in building and launching software products that help organizations modernize, move faster, and deliver measurable results. Passionate about using technology to make life simpler and more meaningful, Ayush also mentors emerging founders and supports the next generation of tech talent. Ayush, when you first started your journey in college, what were your aspirations then?
Yeah, good question, Michael. I'd say, of course, you know, like as an entrepreneur, you know, what inspires you most of the time, and I think I'm on the similar lines, that it was about the inefficiencies. Like I started my journey as an entrepreneur in 2011. And I think the first thing, like those were the times when mobile had really come in. So, you know, I could sense the opportunity that so many businesses need like better mobile applications or better way to ride the wave and so on. So it was more about solving problems and solving inefficiencies that were apparent. And, you know, over the years, that same curiosity has led me to work pretty much full time into healthcare now. And healthcare is a big, you know, ocean of inefficiencies, or I would say opportunities. You know, we are solving healthcare every year as a country.
Here in the United States,
yes,
you have a booming industry of innovation shackled by the chains of bureaucracy. It's like a very weird and backward system, but everyone's talking about AI in healthcare. I agree.
Yes. And like I would just end by saying that as an entrepreneur, inefficiency is good because that's where opportunities. We don't want perfect systems. Let us be able to create those.
It sounds like you grew up with the mind of an engineer, looking for problems and hopefully finding creative solutions towards them. First of all, what did you study in college?
Yeah, no surprises, computer science. And then later I've done a business degree from Berkeley.
So in college, what kind of jobs did you think you were aiming for? Were you looking to start your own company? Did you have a big tech in mind? And did it kind of play out how you anticipated?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, yes. And to some extent, of course, you know, there have been surprises as well. But I would say for my journey, so I read this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad pretty early in my college. That was a good thing to happen. And this was like my second year in college or so. So in one sense, I was pretty sure that I wanted to build a business. Now, what business that would be was, of course, iterative process. So I did not start with the agency that we run today, but actually started with a website that allowed exchange of old books. So that was my first business. Then I also pivoted to, you know, providing guidance to. So like, as I graduated from college, I felt, hey, my college taught me these four things, but I feel every college graduate should learn these six skills. So I and my friend teamed together to create a new college, I'd say like supplement program that, you know, that could be given to college graduates to make them industry ready. But this was like pre-digital. So like we were more around PPTs and going to college and giving the presentations and so on. So that was another business I had a tryst with. And then Mindbowser is the third one.
So how did Mindbowser fall into your radar, and what inspired you to pursue this company, and what exactly are you doing?
Sure. So so the first part being, so from these initial experiments, you know, I had created some connects, some sort of reputation that, okay, at least I can code. So not being very successful at the business models that time, but really started getting work as a freelancer. And then I and my buddy teamed together to register a company just to do this sort of, you know, like freelancer work. So we started pretty much like with a two people team. Today we are like 250-ish people, you know, in-house. So, and again, as an agency, it has taken different layers, different pivots, I would say, over the years. So as technology trends changed from mobility to DevSecOps to like IoT, we did a lot of IoT, which led us to understand some sort of medtech. And then gradually, I'd say, you know, COVID hit, and that time we were working a lot more into healthcare. So that was the last pivot. And today we are like a healthcare IT company, and we provide transformation services just to healthcare businesses. So all we do is building in healthcare.
Mm. Can you tell me a little bit more about your specific kind of services, and why would you describe yourself as different than other people? As in, what would you attribute your uniqueness factor to?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, first of all, of course, the niche, like being in the niche area of healthcare. So not many companies, you know, provide end-to-end service around healthcare. So there are many times point solutions available. But when we speak to our customers, they still have the same problem that there are these point solutions which probably work nice in their own, let's say, you know, silo, but not really helping, you know, like helping them build the future, basically. So our most sold service is basically today the AI transformation for legacy businesses. So any business, you know, that is in healthcare in the last 10 years or older, you know, is very much like 99% of the time, if not 100%, is, you know, working in the old way where there are a lot of back office people. There is, let's say, a lot of facts and documents going on. There's data. Still, while there is PHI, you know, like boundaries, but still data is pretty much like passed over Excel. One team downloads and then does something, sends it back and so on. So that's exactly the area where we thrive. You know, and the differentiator about us is that, one, you know, while we have solutions and products in place, none of them are like point solutions or like someone could just like click and buy and stuff. But more of these are solutions that are more like a starter kit, I would say. And then we bring in also the consulting practice to make it really work. So we like, you know, measure success not by selling licenses, but really working with businesses on the ROI and making it work, which our customers, we have found, are pretty happy about once they see that. And they're like, hey, like I really love when they say, why didn't we meet you before?
Yeah, I've had like 4 podcasts in a row, and every one of them was how someone else out there is using AI to solve issues in the medical industry. And it looks like it's a very opportunistic ecosystem. And a lot of these solutions that are finding a lot of success, there aren't these novel, incredible ideas. They're just leveraging AI into where it's most valuable, and that is removing the noise and the grunt work and the stuff that we could patternize and delegate and allow us to do what makes us truly exceptional. So if a doctor is exceptional in the capacity where he can do really technical diagnoses, you want him to be doing nothing but that all day, where he has to take notes, where he's got to have these conversations, where there's an element of redundancy, where the same information from the nurse has to be repeated to the doctor. All that, wherever you can create a virtual assistant leveraged through AI to do, that is where you're going to find success. You're going to bring the cost down for the people who need the service, and you're going to bring the productivity up for the people who are rendering the services. And that really is the first line of attack. I'm wondering, where do you see the company heading?
Right. So, like to some extent, you are right, but I just, you know, share my learning, clarify more positioning there. So the idea is that, yes, AI can solve problems, and there are many problems in healthcare. But as I said, you know, going towards not really creating point solutions which create their own mess. We look at, you know, solving these problems, first of all, with the data layer or with the transformation of the business practices. Because, you know, like just putting a solution just the model building, for example, or the algorithm may not be what healthcare really wants. From the healthcare context, it's about, you know, can this really work in a way that I don't have to look into learning again? I don't have to, let's say, you know, do two more things, for example, outside my EHR, for example. So these things are more important for healthcare, because for AI in healthcare, the problem is about, you know, making it really work as the quietest person in the room, not the noisiest. So, you know, it has to be smooth. It has to be part of, because let's say the clinicians, the nurses, they are already overburdened, and there is no shortage of software that they already have to muddle their mind with, for example. AI, first of all, has to come in as more like a respite to it. And what we really follow is that AI has to be while most people would talk about accuracy, I would always look at parameters around being early. So being early as in whatever, like how AI can help, you know, whatever is there a workflow, how AI can help being early in that workflow in terms of early detection or early red flags. It could be RCM, then early, you know, red flags around like, hey, whether the submission I'm doing to the payer is right or not. If it is clinical, for example, then early detection or early, you know, risk recognition, for example, from a file or things like that. So AI has to really work more like that. That's my vision, you know, where AI is headed. And then as a company, you know, as I said, we are looking at the bigger piece of AI transformation than just, you know, AI solutions. So AI solutions are many, and we even partner with some solutions. But our game remains that it has to be more like a journey where, you know, it is a lot more consultative in terms of running discoveries with clinicians, with the stakeholders, understanding where they are and why they are actually looking to invest in AI. What is the, what they're looking for that they consider would make this partnership or this initiative successful, and drawing those KPIs and then working towards it. That remains our focus.
I know some of the services you provide are remote patient monitoring and diagnostics. Can you talk a little bit more about how specifically AI has invited some breakthroughs in those industries?
Sure. And in fact, those are two of the solutions that we offer, like I was mentioning. So we today have a combination of products and services. So we have the consultation arm, but then we also have these products that that can get started the journey fairly quickly and get to the transformation really easily, I would say. So what we've done, again, in the RPM, so, you know, building today, it is more like a AI-first RPM approach. So while there is, of course, the frills of the conventional remote patient monitoring, which includes, let's say, you know, the ability to book an appointment, to be able to, let's say, we have these devices that, you know, like patients can basically wear, and their monitoring happens like from their home, their values, etc. coming. But where the magic lies is, again, you know, cutting through loads of data that is humanly impossible to figure that, you know, which patients are at risk or which numbers are important for me or what's the pattern. So that's exactly where we find our moat. That, you know, if we are coming in as a RPM partner, of course, we'll take care of the conventional side. Like, you know, you have this whole ecosystem, you can give it to your patients, we'll ship the device and, you know, like it will start monitoring. But what really sells or what really is the differentiator is the AI layer, because now, you know, we are collecting all the data, but we are making sure that the clinicians are not bombarded with all this data. They are, when they are looking at their dashboard, for example, they are really seeing minimal data, which is very useful for them. Like, you know, who are the five patients who really I need to look into, or what are the patterns that are really forming? So we have really worked a lot more on those aspects, you know, while building the product and providing the service.
Yeah. Often we feel like with greater scientific breakthroughs come a flood of opportunity and growth in a company. But the truth is, sometimes a system is only defined by its weakest component. And when companies are just constrained by bureaucracy, regulation, compliance, sometimes that can be the biggest hindrance for growth. Is that how you feel navigating the industry? And your services are probably throughout the United States and India, I would imagine. Are you feeling a difference between countries? And do you feel like regulations is sometimes one of the biggest hurdles you have to jump through?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, I would say. So I'm more actually supportive of the regulations because to be honest, I mean, sometimes you get frustrated. So that's why the yes and no.
Yeah, but they're there for a reason, of course. Yes. They're a double-edged sword. They keep things reliable, consistent, but sometimes at the edge of innovation, you can be a little constrained.
I would say that it pushes definitely everyone to create better products and, you know, like model explainability is required right from day one for any AI we are building in healthcare. So that creates a lot more, responsibility to remove noise, to be right about things, and works as a good forcing factor is what I would say. That if it was easy, then everybody would just today we are already seeing hundreds of products. If the regulation is removed, maybe there would be thousands of products then doing the same thing, and the differentiation, yes, the need to choose, the noise becomes multifold. So in that sense, I'd say regulations, are a good force, the human in the loop aspect or the model explainability, the PHI aspect, for example, the compliance. I think that is useful overall to build better systems, act as a safeguard, because this is healthcare. So healthcare and finance, I think these are two industries where, lives are really on the line, especially in healthcare, no doubt, directly. I say right. Finance because of the monetary aspect, one zero extra and, boom. So things like that, I'd say I consider compliance as a good constraint, not in a bad way. And I think that makes everybody more responsive.
Yeah. Where do you see the industry and your company specifically heading in the next 5 years?
I think we are looking at a really golden period for transforming healthcare. It's probably the first time where technology's impact is so apparent. And what my take is that, healthcare overall doesn't really have a labor problem. It basically has a attention allocation problem, and that's what AI is really helping. AI can help reallocate human attention or clinicians' attention or back office attention to the edge cases, to what is really required, be early in the game so that they can take proactive steps that avoids all the mess later, have more time for empathy, have more time for making complex judgment, because now they are free from all the noise.
Right.
So overall, right. I feel because of these reasons, we'll see more and more, uptick in using of AI. Of course, the future would be changing, as a healthcare industry, changing our habits, from the old traditional ways to the new way. The faster we do it, faster we are ready for thinking about AI first into whatever we are doing, the better it becomes for businesses. I think the pressure will continue from startups to the incumbents to innovate or die. So that I think would continue, and that I believe for incumbents would be a great space also to modernize the business and become AI first and create value, because real AI would not be like what we are using today, where there's a lot of point solutions and a lot of noise about what is happening. But I'd say real AI would be pretty much like the silent warrior in the background. So real AI would be just continue as part of our day-to-day process, and that time probably come.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's your main demographic for your services?
Yeah, so it's the US healthcare. We are working with several health systems. We are also working with a lot of companies in the value-based care space and remote patient monitoring space. And then we are also participating, as co-founders to digital health. So, but yeah, US healthcare as a geography.
How can people get in touch with you, Ayush?
LinkedIn is best. So Ayush Jain, Mind Bowser. LinkedIn/in/AyushJ. That's my LinkedIn handle. And then, or otherwise email. So LinkedIn and email. So email is ayush.jain@mindbowser.com. Easy to find, I think. Yeah, there's a lot of data about me.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Ayush. Thank you for your time and wisdom.
Thank you, Michael, and pleasure of being on this podcast.